When I first started, which was about 14 years ago, barbering was not a popular job. So I was always a little bit hesitant at it, but then I always kept finding myself just scrolling back to it and looking at it. Working with a big company, you've got so many more opportunities. Like the things that we do ourselves, very hard to get them on your own. We're down to Brazil camps and we get to cut obviously all the big football players. Like I even got to do Neymar's here about 7 years ago. You can't give someone a management job if they have no like management potential. You know who's going to be a good manager. If you want to be a manager, you've got to act like a manager. You've got to do the things that a manager should be doing. That's how you get noticed. I was doing those things and making myself noticed.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there, I'm Anthony Laban and welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. This is part of our Christmas special edition, Deep Dives. And I am here in Liverpool at Barbers Number One with Jord Roberts. Jord, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent. And you are... What's your role here? What's your job title?
The brand director for Barbers.
Brand director for Barbers Number One. I'm really, really pleased you've made the time to talk to me because it's such a success story, brand barbershop number one is. The whole Barbers Number One has grown to 16 shops. You've got three academies. You're saying kind of 70-80% of your staff are trained through you. Well, it's a huge success in a time when we hear lots of negativity about the industry. It's flying.
Yeah, it's doing really well at the moment.
Yeah.
Really well.
I just wanted to have a good conversation about how to be successful in the industry. So thank you for that.
No problem at all.
As it's a deep dive, I'd prefer if we can just to start, you know, where were you brought up around here? What do your folks do? What was your initial background?
So where I'm from is probably about called Heighton. So my background, like mum and dad both got their own companies. One was doing sound and lighting equipment. The other one is like steel engineering, something like that. But obviously when I was leaving school, didn't really fancy going to work for them.
Right.
I wanted to try my own thing. I wasn't that intellectual in school. Didn't really fancy going to college, university. But I always remember like looking at like the college options, scrolling through like the booklets. And I always found myself just looking back at the barbering. But when I first started, which was about 14 years ago, barbering was not a popular job.
Yeah,
at all. Really, not at all.
Like that, yeah,
so I was always a little bit hesitant at it, but then I always kept finding myself just scrolling back to it and looking at it. So I think I enrolled at a college just to try and off to do the college course. But then in the meantime of that, there used to be a shop, it's still there now, called Voodoo on Bold Street in Liverpool. At the time, they were like the ones to go to, like about 14, 15 years ago.
Sure.
They were the main ones. So I just went into there and just asked them about apprenticeships. And luckily got an apprenticeship out of them. Worked there for a year. Didn't actually get a job at the end of film trade test working there, which obviously has worked out all right in the end.
That's the best failure you've ever experienced.
That's the best failure ever, that, yeah. So from then, that was obviously, done my training with them. Obviously at the time then, I was only doing college one day every other 2 weeks or every other week. So obviously not a vast amount of actual training. Obviously you're on the shop floor, just like an assistant, you're washing people's hair, just making the coffees, the drinks, cleaning. And then left there, obviously didn't get the job. Just went and bounced around a few different barbershops, just really, really small barbershops, especially back then. Didn't have no big shops. It was just two chair shops. Worked there for a little bit. And then I started like obviously posting stuff on like Instagram and Twitter, mainly Twitter at the time. And then I got a message off one of the lads who worked for this company now, Barbers Number One. And he just asked me if he wanted to come down and do a trial. And then came into it. It was our city centre shop, which is our main shop, the first shop we ever had. Came into there, obviously done my trial with the company, obviously got told the vision of like what we want to do. And then joined on, and then this just went from there, really.
Folks quite supportive of you wanting to go and work, but they pleased not to have underneath their feet.
No, they knew, obviously, whatever I wanted to do, like, no one really stopped me what I wanted to do anyway. But it's always been dead supportive, always for me.
Yeah, cool. And with having done a fairly kind of formative college training apprenticeship, does that reflect into here, or did you come back and do more training when you joined with them?
When I first started, like at the company, we haven't even looked into the training type of stuff.
There's your chair.
That was their chair, obviously. Luckily at the time, like especially back then as well, it was quite easy for me to get people to practice on. So obviously at the stage in Liverpool then, everyone had just started growing shaved heads out. So they'd just starting to grow hair. So no one was really fussy. Back then it was just easy. So I luckily got a lot of people to like trust me straight away.
Yeah.
So when I was, 17, I was already at a good standard for at that period in time. So basically at then I was like, yes, you're good enough. Let's just crack on now and just do what we can do. But obviously then in that time before that, I probably said just a lot of watching videos, just self-taught, self-teaching myself. And then obviously then all the people you work with, you learn little bits of different people. I'll take a little snippet of he does this or he does that and then just merge them into my own way as well.
Yeah, but I think that's the kind of joy of a barbershop. You are kind of, you know, picking up something from the fella next door. And,
that's the best way to do it as well for me, because not the way everyone teaches isn't necessarily going to be the way for you. Whereas if you can take a little bit from everyone that you work with and mould it into your way, that's your way of cutting hair. And for me especially, I may do things in a bit more different way to how someone else does it. But the end product always turns out exactly how it needs to.
Yeah, because that's the interesting thing that I found about Barbers Number One is there's not, you're still allowing your barbers to kind of be creative in their own way. So there's not you will do Barbers Number One route. There's not follow the manual to the letter.
No.
There still seems to have that kind of fluidity.
That's it. We want people to obviously, it's all a big team who works for us. Obviously at the moment now, we're probably around 60 to 65 people who work for us. And obviously, like I said before, I'd say 80% of the people who work for us, we've trained them up from ourselves with our training academies. So again, for me, it's like the growth opportunities for them coming in at that young part. Like you can just keep going. You can work your way up. Obviously, coming in as a trainee, then a barber. Obviously, then you've got management and area management. Like the growth is endless. And us personally, that's what I always like to try and instill into these people all the time. Obviously, always some people will want to go off and do their own thing. And you go, yeah, that's fine. You do your own thing. Some people have that in them. Whereas I was trying to say, like, work for a company that's going to get you more places than what it will be on your own.
Well, I think that's it. I opened up my first company when I was like 21, 22. And looking back now, I should have had at least another five. If I'd had another 5 years, it would have kept more doors open to me.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes it seems like the right thing, but you're kind of slamming the door on all these different routes that I never managed to kind of achieve on my own.
That's it. And I say, obviously, if you go on your own, you're cutting off yourself from a lot of things. So for me, it's working with a big company. You've got so many more opportunities. Like the things that we do ourselves, obviously with football players and like the pop-ups and activations that we get invited to, like it's very hard to get them on your own as well.
Yeah,
and
then obviously, definitely. So if I just rewind a little bit, so you've qualified, you're running along quite happily. And at that point, there's a couple of shops.
So when I first came in, there was just the one shop.
Oh, right. So you really were right at the beginning of the...
I think I was the fifth barber to join. Like wow. So that I remember coming into the company and being like, "What? This is I'm working like five lads, all same age as me with barbers." Like, I thought I was one of the only people at my age, at like 17, 18,
right,
who was doing barbering. So for me to come into the company and be around the same sort of age group as me and everyone's cutting hair, I was like, "This is boss.
Phenomenal.
This is unbelievable."
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, what a great work environment!
Oh,
to
exactly. It's unbelievable. But especially back then, we were sort of at the time where the sort of club sort of feel of like barbershops. Like we have like the neon lights, stuff like that. We used to get DJs into the shops. Obviously the clients would love DJs on. Obviously dishing out all like the beers and drinks, stuff like that. It was like a little mini party in the barbershop. And that obviously helped us a lot.
But that was right at the beginning of this change of from kind of dour barbershops, short back and sides, in you go, out you go, to it becoming,
That was 12 years ago as well. Yeah. That obviously, even from then to now, it's changed.
It's amazing the change, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy the change. Mm. Especially what I've seen from my experience of working with people. And like, when I even look back at pictures, I was looking back at pictures the other day of seeing me when I was 18 with the company. And then obviously you look at all the things that have happened now. It's like, you can't wish for nothing better.
So,
barber.
I mean, if you've added 15 shops over the last
12 years.
12 years. Yeah. So more than one a year.
Yeah. If even like around, I think we've done two or three around the lockdown period as well, which is, to be able to do that and then keep them thriving is crazy as well. Like I remember we opened Formby. We opened that the day after the first lockdown. So we had like queues out the door. Obviously, in all the shops we were busy, but then this was the first day this opened and it was just queue down the road. It was chocker, which That's something that you want, especially run a barbershop. You want a shop too busy.
Yeah.
And it's that was the best jump start that you can ever have as well. It's crazy.
Yeah, we opened up. Well, I opened one 2 days before they locked us down.
Really, yeah.
And it felt like a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
But reopening was
sensational.
Reopening is
crazy. Obviously, the lockdown period was obviously crazy for everyone as well. Very up and down. But it's how you come back after that and try and survive that afterwards. And if you can survive that afterwards, then you're on a good roll then.
Definitely. So you're at that point, how involved in number two were you when it came along? Or were you kind of really still behind the chair?
So back then, obviously, I was just a barber.
You were a barber.
I was a new barber. I was 18 years old. Obviously, when I come in, obviously, the talks were obviously with the envision of like where we want to go, especially back then as well. It's like, you work hard. I always say, if you want to be a manager, you've got to act like a manager. You've got to do the things that a manager should be doing. That's how you get noticed. And obviously for me, I was doing those things and making myself noticed.
Yeah.
And obviously then we had another shop on top of that. And then our third shop was Pilch Lane. And that's when I got made manager. I think I was 19. And I got given that shop to be manager of that shop.
Wow.
And then obviously that was my chance then to be like, right, I'm going to put my stamp on this now a little bit. And like that shop now, and to stay with like the new management in there, that shop's phenomenal. And it's still busy now. That's a suburb shop, but like that's one of our best shops we've got. And like obviously then we just kept going, putting the one on, obviously branching a little bit further out into different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kept going from there, from all them shops.
Amazing. Amazing. But along the way, obviously, you know, there's we're in the heartland of British football. And you've got a huge amount of that kind of sporting celebrity clientele, which again for certainly young barbers is certainly one of the goals, one of the things to tick off.
I'd say for most definitely, yeah. But for me it wasn't, I wouldn't even say it was a goal for me personally. I'm not a massive football fan. I let my clients know all this. I let them know that day one. So they like, no, I don't really follow football. I'm not gonna pep you with questions. I'm not gonna ask you this. And obviously that obviously benefits us as a company because they know we can be trusted. But I still remember like the first time we ever got a football player. We had one of our shops on Queen's Drive, and obviously this is when Liverpool used to train at Melwood. So they used to drive past our shop, and there's traffic lights outside the shop. So they'd stop every single day at them lights. And on this one day, one of our trainees, Tom, he ran outside with a flyer to Firmino, just giving this flyer through the window. Obviously, for just giving that, we'll see what happens. I think it might have been like a week later. I think he messaged us on like Twitter or Instagram, something like that, and then come in to get a haircut. Got done by one of the lads, and then come back the second time, and that's when I started cutting his hair after that. And I was with him for 8 years, near enough, every single week. And then he took me down to Brazil camps, stuff like that as well. Like we'd always take lads with us. There's a few of them to get done. We'll take a few of a team down there. And we get to cut, obviously, all the big football players. Like I even got to do Neymar's hair about 7 years ago, something like that, which for me as well, obviously, I'm not a big football fan, but I still know that. That's still right up there, do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
Which is crazy. Obviously, for them young kids to see stuff like that, it just shows like I'm not special. I'm not anyone in particular who's unbelievable in the industry. But then there's still hope that anyone can do that. If I can do something like that, that shows that anyone can do stuff like that. It's just you go about it the right way, and the opportunities are endless for you. We've had loads of our lads who obviously say if a few of us aren't available to do our football plays, we'll put our staff on with them as well. Obviously, if they like them, they like them. If they like the rest of them, they'll stay with them as well.
Yeah.
So obviously, it's not many places can offer that type of like us being able to work with those players in the confidential place, like in the houses, stuff like that. And to be trusted with that as well, for us, obviously, it's an honour to be trusted with it as well. Whereas it can go one or two ways. Like that first haircut can make or break you.
Yeah, no, that's
you could lose them on day one.
Yeah.
If you're a little bit too pushy, you're asking too many questions, you're being a bit too much. Whereas we just keep it like nice and calm, relaxed. You do your service, and obviously over time, that's when you grow your relationship with them. Obviously, like now, I've made a lot of good relationships with a lot of the players, and like that stems from like being invited to like family parties, stuff like that.
Yeah,
and you know, especially with us, we're not going to reach that barrier and like take it a step too far as well. Which obviously you don't never want to see like football players getting like used and abused for like the social status stuff like that. You just want to, obviously, if they let you post your content, stuff like that, that's great, you know what I mean? But you've got to respect when they don't want you to do stuff as well and not go that bit too far.
Yeah. But again, you know, it's clients, it's making sure you've got the skills to be able to do this work.
As well,
But you were quietly keeping your head focused on on your management career and presumably becoming much more involved in the expansion.
Yeah.
And I'm really intrigued by that because to open up 16 shops in this climate over 10 years with ambitions to open more. At what point did you kind of go, we are going to need staff? Let's do some training. Let's get our training academy
in. So it was quite early in the path, to be honest, because obviously at that time, Barbaran wasn't very big. So like there was every time a new staff member would come up that you'd find someone, we'd take them on. We'd obviously, we got to a point where there was not many barbers left. We'd had like most of the best barbers in the city working for us. And obviously it's not hard nowadays to obviously get your funding for apprenticeships and stuff like that. But obviously we're at the point where we need to train people. Like if we want people to work for us, we're going to have to train them.
Yeah.
And that's when we opened our first academy. I think that might have been around 2020 or maybe 2018, 2019, something around then. And that's when we started like bringing in our own staff. Then we do the college courses. And then I think our first course, we brought in, I think 5 to 6 barbers who work for us. And even over that durational period, I'd say about 4 or 5 of them are now managers who work for us. Right. We found that if that's the best way to bring people in, you obviously want to train them up. You can show them the ropes of how things are. You get them work for the company. They know what's expected. And you get them in from day one as well. That's always the best. Obviously, it's a lot harder to bring older staff in, new people from work, different companies. Sometimes it can be quite hard. Obviously, they may have their own badge traits and stuff like that and baggage, whereas you get them in from day one. They're going to be like,
it's your fault if you
it's on you then. It's on you then.
No,
so
absolutely,
and you can make them into unbelievable barbers as well. And we've made unbelievable barbers over the years. As I say, now we've got 80% of the lads who work for us who are now staff members, and it just keeps going. Academy courses running like 4 or 5 times a year across 3 locations. So obviously, we're constantly pushing out and gaining new staff all the time.
So your training systems here, does it follow more of a conventional apprenticeship like you went through, or is it more intense than that? Have you seen
I think the courses are about 12 to 14 weeks, and obviously they're like government funded courses, so that gives people the opportunity who are on like benefits, stuff like that. It helps them get into a job. Obviously, you have obviously the other side where you can do the paid courses as well, like private funded, people can pay for it. But then obviously there's a lot of people in like that age gap of like 18 to 24 who can't get a job as well. So obviously there needs to be someone there to offer these jobs to people. Obviously we offer the training courses to them with the potential they're going to come on to us as well.
Yeah.
It's a win-win for both. Obviously they've got the qualification, we end up getting staff, and you're taking people off the benefit side of it and you're getting them a job basically.
And the 12, 14 weeks is intense.
That's 4 days a week. Four days, obviously, comparison to when I done, I was in once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So 4 days a week for 12 to 14 weeks back to back. Obviously, you're following the MVQ level 2. So obviously, you're following what they will tell you to teach. Obviously, you can't go too off plan because then it's not a part of the course, obviously. But for me and obviously for the company now, it's worked amazing for us the way it's gone. And obviously, I always say, once you finish the course, you're not the finished article. You've got the basics of what you need to now slowly become an officer.
And do you bring them through as kind of graduate barbers? Are they?
Yeah.
Is there a different pricing structure for them? How do you integrate?
We normally
tend
to only wait until we feel at a comfortable level. That's when we'll start charging for the haircuts. We'll let them obviously do the free haircuts.
So they have a spell of just working in the shop.
Yeah, just obviously offering the free haircuts out. And when we feel at a good point, we're like, right, you can start doing the charging amount now. Because especially for us, our prices aren't heavily priced. We're still on like the cheaper side of pricing.
Yeah.
So obviously you get obviously some barbers who will charge you £35-45, but we're still on that sort of lower spectrum as well. And all of our clients, like, because they've been with us for so many years, they understand when someone's training, they're more than happy to let people come on. So that's a big thing as well. The standard now is high. Like, it's for a barber to come in now and be expected to be at the same level as someone who's been cutting hair for 10-15 years, it's a massive gap as well. Whereas obviously we're quite lucky with the clientele that we've got across our company. Everyone understands that there's people there and they're more than happy to let them have a go.
Yeah.
And then sometimes like they'll stick with them then. They might like them, they might like the chat, just how the energy off them, and they could stay with them then forever. I always say it takes one haircut to gain a client and then they could be yours for life then.
Yeah.
Just off your conversation, the haircuts are obviously especially, but they just might like you as a person.
And so at the moment now, are you involved in the academies? Are you You can see how many you've got coming through.
Yeah, and we always have a good idea of who's coming through. We're in close contact with the academy tutors as well. Me personally, that's not my area of expertise to oversee the academy. But I go in there quite often, go and see the people who are working.
If you're wandering around going, hang on, we've got a load of really good ones coming through. Does that encourage you to kind of go, let's get another site underway, let's bring something through?
If we start seeing them as well, obviously, we'll start seeing, we'll get a message off the academy tutor. They'll say, look, I've got this person, this person, this person. These are doing really well. So if we can, we'll try and get them to come in and just show us what they're doing and try and get them into the shops, and we'll show them a little bit of stuff as well. And with the courses, they have about two to 3 weeks work experience on the courses, on the course at the very end of it.
Right.
And they'll come into the shops, and then we'll just go over things, see where they're at. And then by that point, you can always tell who's going to make it and who's not.
Yeah.
So it's a good opportunity to actually see what they're like in a normal shop environment as well.
Sure.
And especially one of our shops, all three of the academy locations amongst our other shops. So in the St. Alan store, the academy's upstairs. So the lads are always around the barbershop setting.
Oh, that's cute.
Same for the Kirby. That's up above the shop as well. So they're constantly in and around the barbershop all the time. The staff who work there. So when they come down to the shop, they're already comfortable. It's not as if you've just been in like a little 4x4 classroom and not been around anyone.
Yeah.
They sort of get the atmosphere. They know what the banter's like in the shops as well. Like, they're not coming in like a sheep.
Rabbit.
Yeah. They know exactly what they're going to expect. So obviously, it's a daunting experience coming to a barbershop, especially when at that age, if you're starting off at 18, 19 and you're quite a shy person, it's a daunting experience. I say even with just clientele, it's for some people to walk into a barbershop, it can take a lot for them to walk into a shop.
Yeah.
And if you're not greeted in the proper way, or you're not involved in conversation, that's when you could lose your clientele just off not approaching someone properly. So I always make it a big thing to make sure people are greeted, get everyone involved in the conversation, because that's how you build a community with your shops, really.
No, absolutely. So rewind a little bit, you're going back to your growth pattern. So by number three, you were managing a store.
Yeah, I was managing the Pilcher Lane shop.
So how was the 19-year-old George getting on with that?
It was hard at the time, but at the time we had, I think there was four of us who worked in the shop, all similar lads, obviously. At that point, obviously, I was
This was a new startup,
brand new store. We were quite lucky with the store because that hit the ground running from day one. I think me, the owner, and our friend, we were sat in a cafe, and it was about 8 o'clock in the morning. And we're due to open at 9 o'clock, and someone's already knocking on the window trying to come in outside before. This is crazy. Wow. Someone's knocking on the door at 8 o'clock in the morning already, and after that, it got busy really fast, and obviously. Even back then as well, I'd have the guys from Geordie Shore, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
That was Scotty series. We'd have a few of them come to the shop. So obviously at the time, Twitter was really, really big. So that boosted us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously over the time, you start adding to the staff members. So that went from a 3-4 chair shop. We extended it a little bit, got it to 5-6 barbers working there. And obviously at that point in my career, I was 19. I was going in there, big points to prove, obviously trying to make sure this is done, that's done. And obviously, over your career, obviously, you make little things. You probably go, maybe shouldn't have been like that or like that. But that's all the learning curve. And that's how you become better in your management career, is obviously you learn from your mistakes as well. And that's, for me, that's what you need to
do. Had you had any management
training?
Zero. You literally kind of went, this was at the beginning of a growth. And it was
zero expertise in managing. Just,
you're trustworthy. Here's some keys. Crack on.
Basically, yeah. Obviously, because that division was instilled into me. So I knew. I knew what needed to be done. And for me especially as well, you're not making a new rule book. It's quite simple. No. Just do what needs to be done. Obviously, you keep your shop tidy, you greet your customers, you do all your good haircuts, and then it just runs itself, realistically. Yeah. Especially with 3-4 staff at that point, you're not asking to do crazy amounts of different stuff.
But the money behind the owner of this isn't a barber, though. No. He's not physically involved in
He's not physically involved in the cutting hair, but he's very much involved in the company,
And would he have been much more a kind of mentor place for you at the beginning?
He's been my biggest mentor, more so than anyone. He's been the person who especially believed in me from the start, when I was 17 at the time, when obviously I was approached to join. And he must have saw something in me back then. And he's still very much now my biggest mentor. Oh. And he's the one who's helped me get to where I've got to, because of obviously his belief in me and obviously the company, and then trusting me, but then pushing that vision onto everyone else as well.
Yeah.
So he's been the biggest part of my career, especially. And you know, it's like I'll say it to him all the time. He is 100% my biggest mentor in this whole thing.
I mean, I think that is a bit, I've said it many times that I think, you know, if you're going through your training and then going into studio, you're missing out on so much of it. And one of the things is you're missing out on that mentorship.
The mentor, it's a big thing. Like you need someone to look up to.
Yeah.
And especially, obviously, they're looking up to people you'll see on your social media, stuff like that. But you need that personal connection.
Yeah.
Especially because how are these people on social is going to help you when you're not feeling on your best day?
Yeah.
Because obviously, you'll start to spiral on some days. You don't always have your ups and downs. And obviously, everyone else won't see the ups or downs. Like, they'll just see when it's on the social, stuff like that. But when you need the help, obviously, if you've not got that physical mentor, then you've got no one else, really. You're on your own.
Kind of rudderless ship.
That's it. You've got no help to get you out of it. You know what I mean? So for me, especially having that physical person to get, and he knows when I'm off my game more so than when I will know I'm off my game.
Oh, right.
He knows me off the back of his hand. So when I'm not doing my best, he'll pull me and say, like, right, we need to do this, we need to do that. Yeah. You might be burnt out, stuff like that. He knows me better than I know myself sometimes. Mm.
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to talk to you about something really important. Our podcast here is more than just about the industry, the barbershop, and the life therein. It's about the community that we built. And in the time we've been doing this podcast, the community has been amazing and we've loved it. Now we're looking for you to get involved and become an essential part of our future. We're seeking long-term, mutually beneficial opportunities for partnership to come on board and help spread our message, to connect with our community, to help grow it, to keep the message strong, and to keep hearing and discussing these amazing topics that we do with all our guests. If you think your brand is the right brand for us, if you want to get in touch, please email me at thenoblebarberpodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram. Be really good to talk to you. We'd love you to be part of our future. Okay, and now back to the episode.
So you went into COVID, what was that, 2020? You had three shops.
No, 2020. By that point, I think we were on nine.
Wow.
Nine, maybe. Yeah, so maybe, no, I think
so you had nine shops. What's that, kind of 30, 40-odd staff? 40?
By that point, I'd probably say about 25 to 30, maybe.
And are the team employed, self-employed?
All employed.
They're all employed?
Yeah, all employed.
So at that point, you've got the happiest barbers in the country that are all on furlough.
Oh, yeah, everyone
was quite happy. They were all sitting on the couch.
Everyone was loving it, thanks. They were all getting paid to stay off.
So for as an employee for your barbers, that was a huge uptick for them.
Oh, definitely. Obviously, you get people who might have left just before it, and they're going straight into that whole period with nothing as well. So obviously the furlough was good for the lads, obviously. So,
yeah, and for the company, though, presumably, that was quite a...
It was a hard period.
A tough shout to have nine shops shut. I mean, I went in with four, and rent, rates, bills, it didn't stop.
No.
Was that something that damaged the brand? Were you up and ready to go again?
The
owner wasn't intimidated by it. It was like, you've got to go with what
you've got, really, as well. And obviously, a lot of time when you come out of it, there's like the government kickstart scheme, stuff like that. Like, kickstart scheme, I'd say, helped us because we were able to bring in loads of like apprentices, essentially. It was like a mini scheme to get people into work. So I think we on our first day, I think we had 35 people or so come to apply for this kickstart scheme, which is basically like a mini apprenticeship. So obviously just off that alone, that got us trainees and then onto the academy as well.
Wow.
So if you've got it, you can have a look at it one way. It's like, I'm just going to be beaten down. I'm just going to just give up on this, or you just keep fighting.
Well, that's what we do.
You've
got
to be positive and you've got to just keep going. Like, if you have a bad day, don't just go, oh, Sam's going to roll over and go to bed. You're going to try and think of what we can do.
What were you doing during that period yourself? Were you very involved in the way of keeping nine stores going along
we're
the
all,
way?
We're all like that together. Like, me and like the management team, like, we're all speaking constantly every single day. So like, even in that lockdown period, you're not really just sat around doing nothing. We're still in talks all the time. We still speak to each other. We're still obviously planning. Like, I remember when, I think it was that first lockdown when we come back, we'd organised, it was when they brought in all the restrictions, like the 2 meter space and stuff like that. When we thought, how can we make something of this? So we had like a film crew come down and we done like a massive like video production. Like, we put all like the spaces out and stuff like that. We had all the masks on. We done like, got all of our staff to come outside in like the 2 meter gap, like put a big production of like barbershops back open for who's doing something like that?
Yeah.
Like no one's putting these big massive like productions on just to open a barbershop back on. Yeah. Like you flick the light switch and it all go on and stuff like that. I mean, you've got to make the most of that, them type of situations. Like we wouldn't just sit there and do nothing.
No.
Like that's the time where you get to plan things as well. Obviously you plan things in the time where you just sat there doing nothing. That's where you can get some of your best ideas as well, really.
But we've had now five years since COVID.
Five stores. And I think now we're on our sixth location.
Yeah, that's a big growth after a big kicking.
And yeah,
it's big. But so at the moment, certainly here in the UK, we're talking incessantly about the negatives.
Yeah, we try not to focus on negatives. Like
Seem to have missed the beat with it.
No, so I said, you've got to keep going. Like, why would you just... if you got stuck into like the spiral of being negative, you're not going to get nowhere. Mm. It gets you nowhere. Obviously, you're going to go home. You guys probably be like in a shit mood when as soon as you get home, you should be fuming. What's the point? Like, I'm quite a chill person, not really can get me angry. I think what's the point of just getting like worked up over these things? Like my opinion on politics, stuff like that, is not going to change a thing.
No.
So for me, I'm like,
I'll get up tomorrow and it is what it is.
Like my opinion doesn't change it. So I try not to get involved with stuff like that and just do what we can the most as a brand to just keep going and keep scaling.
But you, I mean, I guess in the structure, quite a traditional approach to it.
Yeah, it's very
basic.
You've
got employed staff, you've got bricks and mortar buildings, you're charging 20 quid haircuts.
Maximum, yeah. Like most of our shops are all like £17.
£17 haircuts.
Still on the low spectrum for barbershops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Your staff are all employed, you're training your own apprentices, you're bringing, these are all very traditional things,
especially in comparison
and it's
to most.
Massively successful. You haven't gone into it becoming a franchise model.
No franchise.
You're only interested in the expansion. You've put in a strong, well-rewarded management team.
Yeah.
This is all not new. You know what I mean?
It's not, I mean, it's very different, I mean it with great respect, but you've not reinvented the wheel.
You've just kind of had a look and gone, there's nothing wrong with this wheel. Let's do it.
It works. And that's why, obviously, for me, you'll see all these people doing all these crazy things, stuff like that. And it is unbelievable for most, but like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. It worked. The model works. But if you get the right staff, especially, the model works. But obviously, if you get people who like to cause up like a bit of drama, stuff like that, then obviously it doesn't work for them. But obviously, most people, it works. And we've stood the test of time. Like, we're still going. Obviously, we've 14, 15 years, probably 16 years the company started out. And like, it's still going now. Obviously, especially looking on the high street now, how many shops are closing down? Wow. It's because they haven't got that infrastructure to keep going, especially at, you have one shop, say you've got two bodies, one person's off sick, you've lost half your staff. But if we have two shops and two people are off sick, you can cover it.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's easy to have more shops essentially than it is to have just one shop.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got that back. And if we have people off sick, we can just move a body from a shop to cover them.
Mm.
And then it works out sound. You're not losing out on half your staff as well.
Well, I guess that's, one of the gripes we hear is, you know, how do you get staff? Can't get staff. How do you get good barbers? And you kind of create them.
You've got to, especially nowadays. Like I'd say now as well, it's hard to find like people who want a job nowadays. Like it's hard to actually find them. If they're not, most people are settled, especially now. There's obviously a lot of people that have their own studios, stuff like that. But for us, training's always been the way. Like we need to train them from day one and then make them into the type of barber we want them to be as well.
And you're keeping a lot of your staff. You don't seem to be suffering from this.
No.
Oh, they've been poached up the road, place up the roads, offered them a chair rental for.
No. That'll come on time to time, but then obviously we'll always try and take on the staff. If we can accommodate the bodies in the shops, we'd much prefer to always bring people in. And it just works better for us. Like you've got them from day one, they've become loyal then because you brought them into this whole barbering career. As well, and obviously they get to see the things what they can do as well, the places they can go to. Like we just do like the activations with Adidas, JD. We've got people working there now who are new to the game, but they're on probably the biggest platform possible. Yeah. They're cutting inside the world's biggest JD.
Yeah. And like, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the JDs and the activations. So
that activation,
because I mean, weirdly,
it's crazy.
For a company the size you are, I'm sure there's an awful lot of people listening to this that have no idea.
Oh, 100%.
You exist.
No, 100%. Especially we're Liverpool based, where we surround most of the areas. But obviously, now with this JD partnership as well, that's in the world's biggest JD in the Trafford Centre.
Huge, yeah.
Which, so cuts inside, the shop is literally in the middle of JD. Like, we have our own section, two chair shop in there, and people are just walking past day in, day out. Like, to cut on that platform with JD especially, it's mind-blowing. Obviously, I remember being in there the day it opened. It's like it was like the private events the day before it opened. I remember sitting there, I think Ashley Walters was doing like a speech, like the JD staff, and like all the heads of the companies. I was just sat there with mates. I was like, hey, this is mad. This is so mad. This, like, I remember when I first started cutting hair, like 14 years ago, and I'm just sat here now with all like the main heads of JD, all these celebrities, and I'm just sat here thinking, we've got a barbershop just there. I like this. This is crazy. But like, that potential where that can lead us to, especially is.
And when did that start?
That was probably, I'd say, about 5 months ago now in the summer.
So, and it's been hugely successful for everybody. Everyone.
JD have loved it. That started off as a campaign for when he first opened the JD. We were in there for about, I think it was 4 weeks at the start, then extended it for like another 2 weeks, then extended it again for like another 3 weeks. And then that was at the point where JD were like, we want you to stay in now.
And this is now a permanent
that's
spot.
A permanent location inside that's there now. Incredible. 7 days a week, every day. That's fully staffed every day. And it's crazy to think that you can just go into JD and just get a haircut.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of things they have inside there as well, like, they have loads of different activation pop-ups, but we're like the main stand right in the heart of the JD store, and we're just in there. Which is just, for me, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to think that as well, like, especially when I first started, like, that is not a possible thing 14 years ago. And to think now that, especially our company as itself, we're just big lights, neon lights all around, just barbers number one.
So how does something like that come about? So who pushes for that, or whose idea comes?
We got approached for it. So one of our stores in the city centre, and they were bringing back, Adidas were bringing back the Climate Cool shoe, which for local people, that's like a proper like Liverpool shoe, like the Adidas Climate Cool. Just a lot of Scousers used to wear that shoe. So we got approached with them. I think they just emailed us, just asking, can they use our location? Because one of our shops is quite centralised in town. You can drive up the road. They were doing like this big, massive like drop where they pull up in like a Climate Cool van. People would jump out and they give away all like freebies, basically. So they brought that van outside our shop. We had a queue of, I'd say, like 150 people just all lined up outside our shop, all the way down. And after that, I think it was maybe like a few weeks after, we had another email, obviously, off the marketing team who ran that activation. They're like, look, we're going to be opening this JD as well. They want you to do a pop-up as well. We were like, yeah, sound, let's do it. And obviously done that. And at the time, when we first had it, it was free haircuts for anyone who spent like £30 on Adidas gloves. So literally on day one, it was just fully booked every single day. Back-to-back haircuts. At the time, there was one chair in there, so that was one person was doing probably 18, 19 haircuts. Obviously, for Adidas, obviously, covered the cost for all, stuff like that. And obviously, that's just seeing that being busy, we think there's something there.
There's something working here.
There's something working there. Like, people are loving it. Like, people are constantly walking around your film. And obviously, it is a bit of a mad thing to be in a shop and someone's cutting hair in there. Even now, you go in there, because new people constantly in like the Trafford Centre, people are just so like, wow, like there's barbers over there. Like, people are amazed to see it. It's like they've never seen anyone cut hair before, but it is a crazy thing to see. And like,
but it's a very different spot. We spoke about this. You know, if you're not getting your hair cut in your local barbers, chances are it's a shop you've never gone into.
Yeah.
And you get very used to walking past and you don't pay much, you know, you don't pay much attention. But to walk through and just have it,
it's just there. Like,
it becomes a bit of a show, and you suddenly realise your kind of drama and what's going on in a barbershop. The kind of the energy.
Oh, the energy inside there, it's unbelievable as well. Like I said, you're on the biggest pedestal they've got, and like, it is wrong. It is hard to cut in there. You feel like you've got blinkers on. Like, but as soon as you snap out of that, then it's easy, and like you start to enjoy it. Then you start to buzz off seeing people like being made up, seeing you cut hair as well, and obviously. For us as a brand, obviously, that's unbelievable to be a part of that as well. Like,
but with your expansion, your expansion was a plan anyway, and JD may just be another addition.
That wasn't in the plan, but obviously now that's now into the plan of it. Obviously, that could potentially.
But with everything else you're doing, the academy is it's not intimidating; it's exciting.
Oh, it's exciting, mate!
Yeah, you're not suddenly kind of going, we've opened another shop. Your Instagram isn't covered with come and work for us. We're hiring. You're not desperate for how we're going to staff this.
No, because we're confident on that academy side of it as well. And obviously, we'll always like plan things. Obviously, we know there's a shop opening. Obviously, we've got like 3, 4, 5 months. Mm. Then we can start to look about who lives in that area that we're potentially going to open in terms of like our staff, or have we got staff that live there? And if not, obviously, who's going to be sound to go work there?
Yeah.
And then obviously, if it comes to it, like what people in that area could be trying to get to work for us? Obviously, certain people in new areas may not have heard of us. Obviously, the ones we speak to them, obviously, we're showing them the vision. We're showing them where we could go to. And obviously, they might go, I'd love to be a part of something like that. Obviously, and then you get people like myself and like other staff members, we'll go and show, talk to them, like, John, like, look, this is how it is. Like, we're not going to pressurize and sell you a fake dream. Like, this is where it is. Mm. This is where it's come from. And this is where it could go to. Do you want to be a part of it, basically? Because especially nowadays, there's lads who work for us from when they first started, now like the managers, some of the area managers, like the growth parts as well. Mm. That's what, for me, I always go back to the growth part, because in Liverpool especially, no one can offer that type of growth in a company. And some of the opportunities we just had, I think, done the England national team rugby. We just sent out a few lads to go there. We had the Australian national team as well, sent a few lads out to there as well. Like, how often are people going to be able to do something like that? It's crazy. Obviously, even just this week, sent lads up to the Scotland national team as well. And like, there's just opportunities that are endless as well. Like, about working at JD, so we had different people working there over that activation period because we thought, when are the people going to get an opportunity to work on this? Like, it's something people aren't going to get the chance to do. And we'd even let barbers come up to us in JD. I was saying, oh, like what's the barbers called? Like, this is at a time when it wasn't branded. And they were asking, like, oh, who is it he's worked for? Blah, blah. Like, they were loving it. I'd love to come and work on something like this.
Mm.
Which, to be on that pedestal, is obviously JD are posting on the social, stuff like that,
no,
which is incredible. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. So you're now 10, 12 years into...
12 years.
Into this career of yours. Yeah. And I guess a lot of barbers by now would be, you know, opening up their own shops and doing that kind of stuff. You're seeming to have this the whole role that you've got a kind of CEO role without the headache and the nightmares, and you've got this wonderful career still going on.
Yeah, I'd like, because for me especially, I've always wanted to be a part of something bigger.
Mm.
Obviously, a lot of people were sold the dream of going and have your own studio, go stuff like that, which obviously for them, that's something what they want. You can't say nothing about it. But for me, like, I'd much rather be a part of something bigger.
Mm.
Like, there's too many growth opportunities to miss out on. Like, for me to go and work in a shop and then be back to back cutting hair every single day, obviously, and gets to the point where obviously I'll get older and I may need to be able to come out of the business to work on the business. Whereas if you're cutting hair every single day, it's impossible to help grow things. But like I said, for me, I don't want to be I always class it as like a big fish in a small pond. That's not for me. I'd rather be in a massive pond filled with loads of fishes.
Yeah.
I'd much rather, it's teamwork.
Yeah.
And like, that's how we've done so well, is because it's a team.
I mean, like I say, with this whole kind of, you know, recruitment issue that the industry's having and everyone's blaming and so on, you seem to have found, you know, the way of training them, but also, you managed to seem to retain your team.
Yeah.
You know, they're happy, which presumably, seeing you're employing them, means that you've got to be working hard for your team as well as them working hard for you.
Oh yeah, well, like I said, we're always constantly working with the teams. Obviously, you'll have like myself and like the area managers. We'll try and take people on like work nights out. We're, like, give them buy dinners for them. Like, just do simple small gestures. Obviously, if they're asking for a certain day off, trying to accommodate them where they can. Obviously, like, we'll have managers just buy the lads all the dinners, you buy the coffees, just small little gestures, but obviously make a lot of difference to people, make them feel respected, and obviously if they have issues, like, voice the issues, like, have a sit down, we address it, stuff like that.
Mm.
Obviously, if you try and ignore it, it doesn't get you nowhere.
No.
Obviously, like I said, most of our lads who work for us have been with us for a long time. Doesn't have to be a big,
and your management team are like you. Most of them have come up through the ranks. They are barbers. You haven't brought in accountants from other areas.
No, like, management. Every manager we've got have all started with us from day one.
Stood behind a chair.
Yeah. All started with us from day one. And we've obviously taught them like our way of being management as well, obviously. Sure.
As I say, that's now, whereas from shop three when you came in, get on with it.
It's a lot different.
There's a different science to it.
You've got to try and look, this is how we think this should run. This is obviously the data on like the numbers for the bodies, stuff like that. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes to it than just opening a barbershop. You've got to understand like the metrics and obviously how things work, and obviously what's financially viable and stuff like that. Mm. But if we can try and teach that to, I try and teach that to them before the managers, because for me as well, you can't give someone a management job if they have no like management potential.
Yeah.
You need to see it in them before. And most of the time you can see it in some, like, you go, there's five people in that shop there. Like, you've got two, three potential managers there.
Mm.
So start throwing the bones through them. Start like tasking them with this. See how they respond to this. Can he handle this? Can he handle that? Then you know who's going to be a good manager just by how they answer to some of those questions.
And I think you know that when a kid comes into the academy, the way they are, you're like, you're going to be fine.
You can tell, like, there's a few lads now who've just started working for us, and a few of them like 16, 17. And obviously that's young in the industry. And I think you just do a little bit more training and a little bit of this, you're going to be fly. Ridiculous. Like, way more at a point than what I was. And it's going to be so much easier for them to climb that ladder compared to what it was for someone like me when I first started.
Mm.
Like 16, 17, dishing out some like good air cuts, good speed. And like, they're a good person as well. Obviously, for me as well, obviously people are attracted to good people as well. If you're doing everything you can for your clients, they're going to stay with you.
But you've got, I mean, one of the things we always say to barbers is very much, you know, find your clientele, look who's there. You've opened your shop. Why have you opened it there? Who's your customer? Does your customer even exist?
So is there a
number one client? Can you visualize that? Or are they
anyone?
Because if you've got the old boy out the road coming in moaning about a £17 haircut right the way through to Liverpool's back four, you know, that's quite a stretch of a client base.
It's our client base is vast. Like it's anyone and everyone, especially for me as well. Like, I think because we've retained such a big client base, it's because most of the people come to the brands. They don't necessarily come to the one particular barber. So obviously we'll have shops, 5-6 lads. Most of the people just go to anyone.
Yeah.
And like, which is fairly controversial as well, as most of our shops are all walk-in stores. We've only got 4 out of 16 on bookings.
And the start, if they're salaried, presumably they're keen to work, but they're not fighting each other's, breaking each other's legs to do the clients. They're not,
like everyone
they're not all commission based and happy to.
Everyone just cracks on. They just do what they need to do. Mm.
So like, one's upset that you're going there. And
Like that's what I said. We'll have staff who have worked there for years, and most of the clients have come in, like, you know them, they get on with them, but they're happy enough to go to the weather from there. And that's, for me, that's how we've built such a strong brand, because obviously you'll get a lot of barbers and just stick to the one person, that's me. They're my clients, whereas for us as a company, most of the clients will just go to anyone. And especially that's key in terms of like building a brand. We're not building a personal brand, we're building obviously a massive brand with multiple barbs who work for us. Obviously, over time, you'll get people who like to go to certain people. They'll go, oh yeah, I'm waiting for them. Sound. Or the shops that you've got bookings, you'll get people who work closely with other clients, stuff like that. But we built a brand that people just they'll come to the brand and just go to happy.
And a lot are still walk-ins? A lot? Do you do online bookings and things?
Only in, I think it's 5 shops. All the rest of my walk-ins. Obviously,
still sticking with quite traditional.
It's traditional, and obviously it is quite controversial compared to most barbershops nowadays, but it works.
Yeah.
And obviously you'll get not everyone can do 20-minute appointments. Not everyone can do half-an-hour appointments. Some people can do faster than that.
Mm.
So obviously you're creating gaps in terms of obviously what you can earn in terms of like, say someone takes 45 minutes, like if someone's running behind, it's a bit stressy trying to sort that, but you could catch up on a 10-minute haircut if it comes to it. So obviously in lockdown, we got forced into doing a bookings for everyone.
Yeah.
But then obviously because of all our stores were walk-ins, it was becoming
you put in a booking system and then took it back out.
The government major, you could only open if you were bookings. Yeah.
Because so you put space, it in and then took it out for something.
Most of the stores, obviously certain ones took a little bit longer to come out and it worked better and the shops performed better going back to a walk-in basis. Yeah. Which obviously compared to most shops.
So do you still get a bank of people sitting along the bench here waiting for?
This store we're in now, this was bookings and walk-ins. So obviously we'll always accommodate the walk-ins if we can.
Yeah.
But obviously every store's different. Some works better than other stores. Like some shops will work better being walk-ins, especially the ones that are used to being walk-ins.
Yeah.
Obviously with this store open, the bookings. So like they can accommodate the walk-ins when they need to. So it's not too bad. It is a crazy thing.
I just love the fact that you're doing all the traditional stuff, but really, really well.
Yeah.
In quite a modern...
Modern take. We tried to modernise it, especially just with like design and stuff like that. Like for me, I wanted to get rid of like that barbershop look. Like our shop originally was just like like red Chesterfield couches, striped walls, like football t-shirts, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then obviously over the years, like they're quite dark as well. And obviously it's really hard to cut hair in dark shops. So over the years, it started having more of an input and the owner started letting me have a bit more of a say in terms of like getting white walls instead of black walls. And then this store was the first one where he let me have quite a good say. And I still remember finding my ideas on Pinterest and stuff like that. I was like, I just want modern, clean, like minimal.
Yeah.
And I just think something like that's going to last a lot longer. Mm. It's going to look so much cleaner for the buyer. Like from a distance, it looked like kitchen showrooms. Like they're very bright and modern. But obviously for barbers, you need good lighting. Good lighting.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could say it's designed by a barber because of the, you can see around the haircut.
Yeah, it's just modernness.
And then there's not a big retail impact in here. You've got your own retail products.
Yeah, we do our own range as well.
Was that a recent thing or was that something that
we've been doing for a while, to be fair? Now we're just trying to push in a little bit more. But obviously you always get different people trying to sell your own products, stuff like that. We thought we'll just do our own instead. Like,
and that's gone well?
Yeah, it's doing really well at the minute, yeah. So we're trying not to like push. So we'll try and obviously do more stuff with the products, like bringing like brushes, stuff like that. But just try and sell them to the clients as well. Yeah. Obviously they do well through the website and like socials. Obviously, then with the footy players, that all helps as well.
Yeah. Mate, I just love it. I love it. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's very exciting when you talk to companies that have got a brilliant franchise operation. They're doing this and doing that. I still employ all my staff, so I still work in a relatively traditional way. You know, I tend to kind of go, I ain't broke, don't fix
it. That's what I say.
But, you know, we're not. You know, we're a couple of stores and I'm very happy with that. It's really nice to talk to a company that's doing it so well and has the ambition.
Thank you to be
doing it with the little spotty 17-year-old who wandered in to be working as such a leader part of the company now and such a main part.
If I can do it, like that's really exciting. Can do something like that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Mate, thank you so much
thank
for your time. I really appreciate talking to you. Really enjoyed it. We've been the Noble Barber. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive here with Jord. And thank you.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.